Ephesians chapter 4 tonight, if you would please. Ephesians chapter number 4. Thank you so much for allowing us to come and your pastor inviting us. And thank you for the wonderful meal this afternoon. We certainly do appreciate that and the trouble you went to for that and giving us accommodations to rest this afternoon. Thank you so very much. We'll look at a familiar passage of Scripture, and I told them in the prayer room it won't be anything you don't already know, but just to bring back to your memory some things that might encourage you to be conscientious of it and to help you in your growth in your spiritual life. And so it's Ephesians chapter number 4. Let's look at verse number 11, if you will, please. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's as far as we'll read tonight. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of being here again tonight, Lord, and the songs that have blessed our hearts. Now, please, Lord, help us for a few moments here to deal with the Scriptures. I pray to be beneficial to this church body and that you'd please, Lord, help us tonight. Bless the pastor as he's gone. Please give him a safe return and bless him while he's preaching this week. Lord, we do pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Familiar passage of Scripture here in the book of Ephesians. And I just want to bring your attention to these few short verses. And I want to deal with this thought. He said in verse number 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some prophets and teachers for. And then he goes on to deal with several other things down through there. And I want to deal with this thought, if we can tonight, the duties of a pastor and the duties of a church. The duties of a pastor and the duties of a church. Sometimes we look at this passage of Scripture and look at just the pastoral aspect of it, but there's more to it than that. And so I want us to look at that and try to encourage you tonight, if we can, and build you up in the things of the Lord, and maybe rekindle or remind you, or maybe you haven't thought of it in a while, something, or maybe never thought of it. Your responsibilities. A lot of times we put the emphasis on the pastor, and he does have duties and responsibilities, and rightfully so. But he's not the only one that does. And I know some churches that the pastor pretty much does it all. He tries to pull the train uphill. The people don't get involved in the services. They don't help in any way. They come, sit, and they leave. And that's not the way it ought to be. It is that way sometimes. And sometimes we don't watch it. We ourselves find ourselves in that routine. But that's not the way it ought to be. And so in this passage of Scripture, Paul is writing here to the church of Ephesus, and he teaches them and showing them not only the pastor's responsibility and duties, but their own as well. And so if you would please follow along with me tonight, we'll look at some of these things that hopefully will be a encouragement to you and a motivator to do what we need to do. I was a pastor for about 20 years, but now I'm a member, just like you are. And so I'm in a little bit of a different role. I was a member before I started pastoring. And so I realized that those things that I was trying to promote and teach in the congregation, now I'm being taught and preach those things, and I have a responsibility as well. So I want to look at this tonight, if we can, for just a little while and see if we can glean some things from the Scripture that'll be helpful and just basic truths down through this passage of Scripture tonight. Look first of all in verse number 11, and we're just going to walk right through these verses tonight if we can. He said, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. we're dealing with the pastors or the pastors and teachers. And as a pastor preaches to his congregation, he also teaches them. And sometimes he just simply teaches them. And that's his role. That is some of his duties. But it says here, and he gave some. The word gave means to bestow or to grant. A lot of times people think, well, we voted you in, we can vote you out, you're just an employee. But that's not the right attitude to have about the man of God. God has put him here, and God has given him to this congregation for your benefit and for your blessing. And so here we see that Paul is starting this and dealing with this thought here in this way, and the way he words it here, he said, and he gave some. The Lord gave you your pastor. Just like beforehand, he gave you Brother Hall. And Brother Hall and I and his wife and my wife went to Bible college together at Tabernacle in Greenville many years ago. We won't talk about how many years ago, but a long, long time ago. And so just as soon, the same as the Lord gave you Brother Hall to be the pastor here, the Lord has given you Brother Shepherd to be the pastor here. And what a blessing that is. It's a gift. And it's a blessing. People view a pastor in a lot of different ways. But when's the last time you viewed your pastor as a gift, as a blessing to be able to sit and hear the man of God give out the word of God to you as a body of believers here in this church? So he says he gave some pastors. The word pastor means the residing officer. It means the manager. It means the director. It means the overseer. And the pastor is the one that directs and guides this congregation. And a lot of people say, well, I'm not having no man tell me what to do. But at work, you have people tell you what to do. And it's amazing people submit to a man at work because it affects their billfold, but they won't submit to a man in authority in the church because it affects their spiritual condition. He's not a dictator. He's not trying to cram something down your throat, but he is trying to instruct you and help you along the way. Now, sometimes it may get hard. As the brother was teaching Sunday school this morning, did a great job in Sunday school. He said, sometimes the men of God have to deal with sin, and they have to deal with it openly. And sometimes they deal with it in just preaching, because it's not an open sin, and he wants people to get right with the Lord and to move on with God. And that's part of the duties of a pastor. He must deal with that. He must see that. You may wonder sometimes, why is he preaching on that? Well, you just have to trust the Lord. He's trying to follow God the best he can, and the Lord's laid something on his heart and leading him in that direction and doing the will of God. I was a member of a church one time in South Carolina. Well, no, it was North Carolina. I'm sorry, right at the border. We had a very giving church, and the offerings were way up, and everything was going well. And seemed like the pastor was preaching on tithing and or on giving quite a bit in just a short segment of time. And I wondered, why is he doing that? We got plenty of money in the bank, and the offerings are very good. But found out there were some people that wasn't willing to give and be part of the church. And I didn't know that. Really wasn't none of my business to know that, but it was his business to deal with it and try to help those people as they was to give in the church and be part of that effort and do the will of God in their life. So he gave some pastor. He is the director. He is the overseer. And a lot of people don't like anybody over them. A lot of people, and I'm going to tell you something, and this is just, I've seen this. I've been saved now 40 years. I told you this morning, I've seen a lot of things down through the years. And most people that don't want a pastor to direct them don't want God to direct them. That's just the truth of the matter. And they want to be their own boss and do their own thing in their own way without any authority over them. But the Bible says here that God gave some pastors and teachers, and he is the overseer. At my work, I have a boss. And he directs us through the day, tells us what needs to be done, and we try to accomplish that and fulfill that because that's our responsibility. Well, in the church, it's not exactly the same, but it's still along those lines as fulfilling the responsibilities that we have. So he says here, and he gave some pastors and teachers. Then in verse number 12, look there if you will, please, for a moment. Why did he do that? Well, there's many different reasons, but here he lists a few in this passage of Scripture. First, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Three different times he uses this word for. This word for means to indicate purpose or an intended goal. He's not just up here beating his gums. He's not just up here taking up time. He's not just, well, I've got to, it's Sunday and I've got to give them something, some kind of little sermonette just to try to fulfill my responsibilities. That's not what a pastor does. A pastor there is there for a reason. It means he has an intended goal. As God has directed him, so he directs the church. And there's a purpose behind all of that. There's a reason for that. And here in this passage of Scripture, he gives those reasons. Sometimes you, if you've had children, or if you have children now still at home, you'll give that child a task to do. And there's a lot of different things involved in that. It's to teach them responsibility. It's to teach them to fulfill something, take some pride in what they do. A lot of different things that are involved in that. And just the same as you instruct them, the pastor is instructing the body of Christ, the church, and for a purpose, an intended goal, for them to go forward for the glory of God. So he says here in verse number 12, three different aspects. And let's look at them and see what it says here. For the perfecting of the saints. For the perfecting of the saints. The word perfecting there means complete furnishing. It means to prepare fully. It says for the perfecting of the saints. Now, sometimes people think, well, the preacher ought to just preach to the sinners. That's not all his responsibility. Yes, thank God, sometimes God will lead him to reach out to sinners with the gospel and preach to them so they can be saved. But that's not all he's required to do, and that's not all of his duties. One is perfecting of the saints, those of us that are saved by the grace of God. Thank God for a man that's interested in us going on for God and being more than we are for the glory of God, to prepare fully. Now, I want to ask you something. I titled this message, The Duties of a Pastor and the Duties of a Church. How are you cooperating with that effort? As the pastor is preaching and teaching and guiding and directing for you, the perfecting of the saints, you to become complete, how are you cooperating with that effort? Are you going forward? Do you pay attention? When he's up here and you hear him week after week and week after week, does it become just a voice? Are you paying attention and getting what he's trying to say so you can go forward for the glory of God? If we don't watch it, sometimes our jobs will get in our minds, other things will happen. We might not feel up to par, and he's just a voice up there like Charlie Brown's teacher. And all you're hearing is just a wah, wah, wah. You're not paying attention to what he's saying. But he's not up here just to take up time. He's here for a purpose. And part of his purpose is for the perfecting of the saints. Oh, I pastored about 20 years, and there's some people was there about the whole time I was there. And I don't think there's any further along when I left than it was when they came. And that's sad. That wasn't my desire. I didn't want that. But obviously, they weren't intending on listening and going any further with God or men of God that I would have come in and preach. They wouldn't adhere to the Scripture. They weren't interested in fulfilling their responsibility. They just wanted to come and go. They were friendly. They wasn't obstinate toward the church. They didn't cause any trouble, but they was just there. And that's not where we're supposed to be. The pastor has a duty. And his duty, one of his duties is for give out instruction for the perfecting of the saints. But the saints have the responsibility to take in that, to digest that, and to become more fully involved and fully mature in the things of God. How are you doing on that? Second of all, it says, for the work of the ministry. The word work there means business, that which with which one is occupied. The work of the ministry. The word ministry means to endeavor zealously and laboriously to promote the cause of Christ among men. And as the pastor instructs the congregation to be busy in those things, to work in those things. I know that's a, you know, they talk about curse word's a four-letter word. The word work is a four-letter word, and it's just about to become a cuss word in our day. Work. There's nothing wrong with work. And there's nothing wrong with hard work. And spiritual work, I'm going to tell you something, is hard work. The flesh doesn't like it. The world doesn't like it. Other people will not be for you and encourage you out there in the world if you're trying to go on for Christ and let them know about the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God. But it is something we must work and endeavor toward. And the pastor here, the Bible says, is for the work of the ministry. Whatever the ministry might be, whatever the aspect of it is to promote the cause of Christ among men. And it deals with being zealous and involving labor. You and I must understand that there is more to this Christian life than just inside this room. There's more to it. This is where we get instruction. This is where we get our understanding, but this is not all that there is to it. If we can't, the devil isn't too, I'm going to be honest with you, the devil isn't too bothered about what goes on in here. But he's bothered when it goes beyond these walls and gets out in the public. Your radio station reaches out into the public. The devil fights that. I know he does. I haven't talked to Brother Shepherd about that, but I'm sure financially and other aspects, the devil fights that. He don't like the Word of God going out. He doesn't like people trying to reach out in the community and witness to people and warn them and try to get them to come to the house of God. You know how hard it is to get people to come to church nowadays, don't you? I mean, when I first got saved in 1982, we could go out on a Saturday and maybe a couple of Saturdays, and there's a lot of times one family that we'd visit would come to church. But now you can go out for two or three years and can't hardly get one family to come to church. It's just the way that things are progressing in the wrong way. But it doesn't mean, that doesn't neglect our responsibility to try to reach people, to get out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and to be busy about the ministry. Can I ask you something? How much are you laboring? How much are you zealous toward the work of the ministry? Say, well, the preacher, we pay him for all that. You've got the wrong concept of what church is about if that's what you think. Yes, he has his responsibility. Yes, he has his duties. And if I know Brother Shepherd, he's a worker. But I'm going to tell you something. It's not all up to him. It's up to all of us together, all of you together. And if I was preaching this at our church, I'd say us. All of us together. So here in this passage of Scripture, we see the pastor's responsibility is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and then third of all in this verse number 12, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The word edifying means build up. It means of the person whose growth is furthered. And of course, the body of Christ simply means the church. And you and I must understand that when the preacher's preaching, whether he's preaching a doctrinal message, a topical message, an expositor message, whether he's preaching on missions or whatever the case may be, I'm telling you, he's preaching to further our growth in the things of God and for the cause of Christ. He wants I promise you, if I was to ask Brother Shepherd, I've never asked him this, but I know the answer already. Are you interested in your congregation going forward for God? And I'm talking about from this person as far as we can go to the left to this person as far as we can go to the right. Are you interested in them progressing for the glory of God in their Christian life? He would say, absolutely, Brother Randy. Absolutely. That's why I study. That's why I pray. That's why I preach. That's why I teach. So that those people that with me together can grow in the things of God. Amen. So let me ask you something. How are you taking that? Are you growing? Are you going further with God? Or are you kind of stagnant? Well, preacher, I'm kind of where I was at last year. Well, be honest with you, I'm kind of where I was at two or three years ago. I'm telling you, that's not the pastor's desire. And as he instructs you and as he gives you truth from this precious book And as you apply that, and as you study yourself, and as you pray, you ought to have a desire, you ought to have a goal, you ought to understand your responsibilities as well as his, is for you to go further and to be edified and built up in the things of God. That you would grow and be furnished, well furnished in the things of the Lord. When I first got saved, I worked at a place that everybody else was lost, just like I was. And it wasn't a real big place. Maybe 20 people worked there. And everybody knew everybody. It was from a small town in North Carolina. And I got saved. And some of the guys I hung around with, you know, they were lost. All of them were lost. But one of them was a Jehovah's Witness. And his name was Louie. And Louie and I did a lot of things together. We played ball together and did other things together. And when I got saved, I started trying to talk to Louie about the Lord. I didn't know nothing. I'd been raised in church all my life, and I could find a couple of verses, but I didn't know anything spiritually. You understand that? But I had a desire in my heart to try to grow and try to reach out. And he had been in Jehovah's Witness religion for quite some time, and he kind of baffled me on some things. But I'm telling you what that made me do. It made me get in a book. Made me study. Made me pay attention to the preacher when he was preaching so I could get something. And it's amazing. If you really come hungry, you're going to find something God will give that man of God from time to time at least that'll help you and answer some questions you have. And I would study. I would talk to Louie and he would ask me this or ask me that. And it would kind of confound me a little bit. And I would just say, well, let me think about it. Let me study that out. And so I would go to church. And sometimes, lo and behold, the pastor would deal with that very thing. And instruct me and furnish me and help me and build me up to go further with God. And then I would have an answer for Louie. Sometimes I just have to study it out on my own. But eventually, I got to where Louis was confounded instead of me being confounded. I'm just saying, if we have a desire to learn, if we want to go further with God, if we want to be furnished and have more knowledge of Scripture and more understanding of the things of God, we can. And that's part of our responsibility. Oh yes, the pastor has a responsibility. The pastor has a duty, but that's not the only one here that has a duty. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. You're supposed to be growing in the things of God. It doesn't matter if you're a young person. I'm like the brother said, thank God for young people developing their talents to be used of God. That's a blessing. I'm telling you, everything we can do, whether it's musical-wise, whether it's teaching, whether it's just personal growth and testifying and witnessing, whatever the case may be, we ought to be progressing for the glory of God. So we see here, but the pastor was given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body. Now let's look and see what else it says, verse number 13. What else is involved in this aspect of this scripture? In verse number 13 it says, till. The word till simply means until. So you might say, how long are you going to build that house until I get it finished? How long are you going to drive that truck until I get my load delivered? How long are you going to do this or how long are you going to do that? Well, the same thing spiritually, the same thing in the church, same thing with the things of God. The pastor is doing all these things in verse number 12, till. Until. Until what? Until we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. See, there should be an end goal to this. There should be a point that we are trying to strive to get to. Will we ever get to it in this life? Well, the pastor's trying to lead us that way, and we ought to be striving to get that way. The Lord may come or call us home before we actually achieve everything we want to do. But I'm telling you, there ought to be a desire. And if you're guilty, and if I'm guilty of simply coming in, plopping down, fellowshipping a little bit, hearing the songs, hearing the preacher, and getting up and going home. If that's all there is to it, friend, we've missed the whole concept of being Christians. Amen. Part of the body. So he says here, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. The word unity simply means agreement. We ought to all agree on the Scripture. Now, it's sad. When I first got saved, I'm from an area where there's Baptist churches just like crazy. And when I first got saved, if you'd hear of a revival, you'd go. We spent probably almost every night for 6 months during the times they'd had revival, going from church to church, just going to revival. And I know that's not all there is to being saved, but I was a young Christian and I was hungry for the things of God. And I wanted to be in the house of God. And I went and I didn't have to worry about what are they going to preach. They're going to preach some false doctrine? Because they all believed the same. They all agreed. And certainly within the body of a church, certainly within the congregation of this body of believers, you all ought to believe the same. And the pastor, as he preaches, he shouldn't have to have conflicts with people that disagree with the Bible. I knew of a church when I was growing up. There was an adult Sunday school teacher. He was a Calvinist. But the pastor didn't believe in that. Rightfully so. And the Sunday school teacher would get up in the adult Sunday school class and promote his Calvinistic beliefs. And the pastor would have to get up after that in the preaching service and disavow that and to go and tell them it was wrong. Well, it shouldn't be that way. You shouldn't have that conflict in the church. You shouldn't have those disagreements in the church. Everybody here ought to agree on the principles of the Scripture. I'm telling you, that pastor, well, I'm just kind of mean and rough sometimes. I would just sit him down. And I said, if you're going to teach that, you can't teach an adult Sunday school class. But whatever the case may be, can you imagine a preacher having to worry about that all the time? And that Sunday school teacher trying to persuade people to believe something that's contrary to Scripture. And then the pastor having to come in and kind of contradict that and constant struggle there. It ought not be that way in our churches. We ought to come, well, to all, that's what it says, till we all of us, come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. The word faith simply means the belief of Christians. The word knowledge means the true knowledge of Christians according to nature, dignity, and benefits. You and I ought to come to an agreement on Scripture, and the pastor is the one that leads that. What he preaches, and I've always said this, I'm sure Brother Shepherd would say the same thing, if you think I preach something that's unscriptural, come to me. We'll examine the Scriptures. If I'm wrong, I'll admit it. Because I'm more interested in getting what God said right than I am about my own ego. And I'm telling you, in this passage of Scripture, Paul has wrote this church at Ephesus here, and he is telling them the pastor is for these purposes till they all come into unity. They all agree. Praise God for a man that you can listen to and have confidence in that he has the truth of the Word of God coming forth from the pulpit. I've heard men that said things that I've scratched my head about, haven't you? Wonder, where in the world's he coming from on that? Where's he going on that? What's he trying to do? That was controversial against the true teachings of the Word of God. And I want to give the man a benefit of the doubt as much as I can. But when he denies Scripture or goes contrary to the truth, then you have to draw a line. You have to be faithful and to the Word of God and God before you are a man. But you're blessed. You don't have to worry about that with Brother Shepherd. He's a man that's going to tell you the truth. He's a man that's going to give you this Bible and give you the Word of God. And that's the concept here, that everybody's working together to come to the faith and the knowledge in one and agree on the truth of Scripture. I would hate to be someone, and you've seen them, and I've seen them too, if you've been in this thing very long at all. There's always somebody that's just got to be cantankerous. and not want to get along and want to cause division and strife. God's against that. And if a man's preaching the truth and a man's giving you the word of God, you ought to line up with him. And if somebody's contrary to it, go tell the preacher, say, preacher, he's denying the truth that you preach and the truth of this Bible, and let the pastor deal with that. And you stand with him whatever he does. Praise God for that. We had an issue at our church one time. And some people, they were just neutral. They wouldn't stand against us, but wouldn't stand for us. And I said, what good is that? If you won't stand for what's right and stand for truth, and they agreed with us, they just wouldn't stand with us. I'm telling you, you ought to stand for that man of God. Amen. You ought to stand for this Bible, and you ought to stand for the things of God. Say amen right there. Amen. But look what else it says in verse number 13. Till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto a perfect man. The word perfect simply means the level of knowledge of a full-grown man in scriptural things. Us men here, sometimes we kind of boast, you know, try to walk proud. And I think a man ought to be a man. We've got enough sissies and wimps in this generation. Little sissified men. We ought to have some men to stand up and be a man. But I wonder, not cocky or arrogant, but do we have men in our churches that are full-grown spiritual men? That we're no longer adolescents and children in the things of the Lord, but we've grown up and we're trying to grow even more to become strong men of the faith, to become strong men that the Lord can depend upon us, our pastor can depend upon us, and others in the church can look to us as a person that's steadfast in the things of God. We need that in our churches. We've got too much of feminine men and weak-kneed men that won't be a man for the things of God. But here, he says to be a perfect man. How? To what degree? Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The word measure there simply means a required measure or portion. The word stature means they're fitted to receive the fullness. The word fullness means filled with the presence and power and riches of God. Now, I wonder if we was to take a consensus at our church and somebody would say, I want you to write down the names of the men you think are adult men scripturally, spiritually. They have arisen to the place that they are full of the presence and power and the riches of God. I wonder if they'd write my name down. I wonder if I'd even come up for consideration in that aspect. But the pastor is given to preach to us and teach to us and instruct us so we can come to that place in our life. There's a goal. There is an intended goal for us to reach, and we must strive to reach that. I used to lift weights. You can't tell it now, but I used to lift weights back when I was young. And I would set a goal to how much I could bench press or lift in some way or another. And I would work toward that. And I would gain a little here and a little there to try to reach that goal. Well, we ought to be striving spiritually to reach these spiritual goals in our lives. If we don't watch it, we'll get complacent. We'll just expect the preacher to do it, and we'll just sit, and weeks and months and even years of our life are gone without any achievement spiritually in our lives. Say, preacher, I've already achieved that. There's nowhere to quit. And I doubt if many of us have arrived to the point that we ought to. So here in this passage of Scripture, he deals with that in verse number 13. Say, what's the purpose of all that? Why did he give pastors for verse number 12 and verse number 13? Look at verse number 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. He starts that verse off by saying, that we henceforth, the word henceforth means from this time forward, we're no longer children, as he speaks of here, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Now, when I got saved, I had a desire to study and to read, but I didn't, you know, just starting out as a Christian, you're just a babe, you're just trying to get your feet under you. And I got my instruction from my pastor. And from other preachers I would go hear and stuff. And I would hate to think today where I would be had I not had that instruction. You think, oh, we'd be at the same place, preacher. I doubt it. There's no telling what we would have drifted into, how we would have erred into things that were not true and not scriptural. There's no telling where we would be. There's a whole lot of people out there believe a lot different than we do. And there's no telling where you and I might have wound up. We might have been right in some areas, but off in others. I heard one man said, he said, I pastor a lot of people that believe in infant baptism. I'm thinking, what? How in the world could they sit in your church and believe in infant baptism? And I'm kidding, there's no telling where we would be had it not been for the instruction of the Word of God by the men of God in our lives to ground us and make us firm in the things of God. And he said, these men were given that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. We're not unskilled any longer as children. You wouldn't hire a 5-year-old to come out on a construction job and get up on the top of a wall and put on rafters. You wouldn't hire a 5-year-old for that. You'd want a man that was skilled, that was able, had the capacity and the capabilities of doing that. You wouldn't, as a truck driver, get a 6-year-old child and said, come on, we're going to go and deliver this load. We're going to drive somewhere and put him behind the wheel with no instruction, no understanding. You wouldn't dare do that. And if you did, you wouldn't want to ride with him. You might send him down the road by himself. The same thing spiritually. Because the pastor is supposed to instruct us and guide us, there's a reason for that. That we be no more, that we henceforth from this time forward are not like little children that are unskilled in the Word. That we would learn the Word. Don't mean we know everything. I don't know everything. We preached on the street for years and years and years. And we would preach at all kinds of events. Sometimes be 130,000 people at an event we'd preach. And people would come up of all sorts, of all different religions, of all kinds of things, and ask us certain questions. And sometimes I just didn't know the answer. I don't know if there was an answer to some of it. But I just didn't know. I just have to tell them, I don't know. But I do know this, that Jesus Christ died for you. And if you don't get saved by the grace of God, it won't matter what the answer to that question is if you die and go to hell. Amen. You and I must come to the place where we realize that we might not know everything, but we're supposed to strive to be skilled in the Word and know more about it than we did last week or last year. Amen. To study, to listen, to apply ourselves in the things of God. And I'm going to be quite honest with you. It's not just enough to know it, but we must practice it. Years and years ago, we had Pastor Appreciation Day, and Kim and I went to pick the preacher up at the airport, an old preacher, and was greatly, greatly admired because he'd stood the test of time and stuck with God all down through the years. And he came in to preach the Pastor Appreciation Day, and we went and picked him up, and we said, how you doing, brother? And he said, I'm doing fine. We talked a little bit. He said, I was kind of disappointed coming down here. It kind of broke my heart. I said, what? He said, I saw one of my members that's been a member at our church for years, outdressed very worldly and inappropriately for a Christian. Now, I just listened. I didn't say much. But I thought, here's a man that's given his life to that church and instructed those people on how to conduct themselves. Here's someone, obviously, that has sit there and listened and knew the concept that he preached and the truth of the Word of God he preached. But yet all they ever did was hear it. They did never apply it to their own life. So you and I, We have the responsibility. Yes, the pastor has his responsibility. Yes, he must give forth the instruction and the truth of the Word of God. Yes, he must reprove and rebuke and instruct and all those sorts of things. We don't like that aspect of it. And that's just the truth of it. But it's needful. But all that is for our benefit. It's for you and I to apply those truths to our lives and to grow in the things of God and go forward. And as that pastor looks at this congregation, as Brother Shepherd looks at this congregation and he preaches, what does he see in you? Does he see somebody that's, they're not just here, but they're listening? You can tell a lot of times if people are listening or not. My wife's dad, he pastored for like 50 years. My wife's dad did. And he had a man that would come in every Sunday and sat in this back corner over here and clipped his fingernails every Sunday when the preacher was preaching. And you could hear it. You're talking about disrespectful. It was a clear indication he wasn't interested in what the preacher had to say. He wasn't interested in going on further for God. He wasn't interested in fulfilling his responsibility as the man of God was up there giving out his responsibility. He was just coming and going and had no regard for what was going on in that service. But you know, we might not clip our fingernails, but we could sit here with the same mindset and not give ourselves to the instruction, not take the knowledge in that we might grow and become more mature and more perfect in the things of God. So I'm just trying to instruct us tonight. And there's much more. I can't deal with it all tonight. My time's up. But I guess my concern is that I see it everywhere I go, and I know you do too. You understand what I'm talking about tonight. There's people that are sitting on our church pews that they're nice people. You like to fellowship with them. They're friendly. But they're just here. It doesn't mean you have to continue that way. You can change that tonight. I'm not asking you to come to the altar or anything. But in your heart, if you say, you know, he's right, I've just kind of been sitting here. The preacher's been giving out the truth, and I'm not applying it. I'm not growing. I'm not striving to go further with God. I'm not taking in all that knowledge that he's giving us and letting it build me up in the faith. I when he's up there trying to encourage us, I understand what he's doing, but it's, you know, that's good for everybody else, but it's not good for me. That's not the right attitude. I've been around church all my life. I was taken when I was a child, raised in church, got saved when I was 21. I've seen all aspects of it, I guess, down through the years for the most part. I've been in all those aspects. I've been the person that sat on a pew and just listened. I've been in the pew and not paid attention. And I've also been in a place where I was hungry for the things of God. I want you to understand Brother Shepherd's responsibilities and duties. And they're great. I told one of the men at dinner this evening, I said, you know, a pastor's different. He has his own burdens, but he also has all of your burdens. That's a lot on a man. That's a lot on a person. But he does it with love and because he cares and because he's concerned about you. Not just if your child's sick or things, but you going forward for God. You progressing in the things of God as he gives out instruction. He don't spend time studying and praying just so you'll just hear him fulfill his duties as a message on a Sunday. But his heart is that you would grow, and as he studies, he grows and you all try to apply it to your own lives to go forward for God. I hope that you'll take not only his responsibility serious, but your own. That you would look and take a new look at that and apply it to your own life. All right, brother?